Our next speaker is Brother Paul Malley from New London, Connecticut. His subject for us this morning, Secrets of the Universe. Secrets of the Universe. Brother Paul. The Lord has said in Psalms 19:1, "The silent heavens speak, they whisper, they give messages. The heavens are speaking? They're giving us messages? Have you picked up those messages? Do you know what they are? Are you listening? The heavens speak of He who has created them. The heavens speak of an intelligent designer. The heavens speak of order and harmony in the universe. The heavens speak of the future. Our future. The heavens are speaking to you. Do you know what it's saying?" Amos 5:8. "He who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns the blackness into dawn and darkness into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the land, the Lord is His name." Now we know a great deal about the earth. We've studied it. We have lived on the earth. We are earthlings. We have even experienced all the experiences that have been active on the earth. We have a rich package of human experiences. The greatest value on the earth is not real estate, it's not money, it's not stock and bonds, it's not the United States government. The richest package we have on earth are the human experiences. It's a treasure because it will guide human beings throughout eternity. Over 70% of the earth is water. And we know the importance of the oceans and the importance of water in our ecology. From the oceans come the clouds. From the clouds come the rain. From the rain comes the fish. And from the fish comes life as we know it. The beautiful earth is inspirational. The trees with their foliage, the color, the geometric forms, the myriad forms of life, the scents. We see qualities of God in nature. Peaceful, serene, order, harmony. The earth experience that we are collecting shall never be an unforgettable experience. We now know water as the critical component of life. Our experience tells us we must protect it from the onslaught of pollution. The greenery brings the sun near our homes. The sun becomes a part of us. The sun is within us. We cannot live without the sun. The sun is our star. The sun is part of our living. It is the creation that supports us. When we look at the greenery, we are looking at the sun. But friends, as I said, the sun is our star. There are parts of the earth that all we can do is look. Nothing else can we do with it. Why? Look at this scene. All we could say about this scene is that there is strength, there is power, there is longevity. Friends, if we were to repeat this discourse, 1,000,000 years from today, here at the Missouri State College, if you're all here together and we were looking at this scene, or in the Grand Canyon in Colorado, it wouldn't change. What the Lord has given us is longevity. But we're reminded from time to time, sometimes daily, of the negative experiences. Mankind has a serious problem. Look at that. That's a serious problem. Here are the starving ones. The need for the kingdom is urgent. Death is more than an experience and observation from afar. It is a personal experience. It is around us. It is in our families. It is with our close ones. And one day we will all experience it personally. We know what it is to be in non-conformity with God. The heavens as well as the earth is part of our experience. Too often we focus on the earth and ignore the heavens. Friends, when we look at the heavens, we are stunned. Nothing on earth can compare. We see an awesome enormity, an inspiring beauty, but an alluring mystery. Mysteries in which leads all kinds of questions to emerge. How did the stars get out there? How were they born? Why is the universe the way it is? How did God create the universe? Where does the earth fit in with the cosmos? Is there a future in the universe? What is the future of the universe? Is there a cosmic blueprint beyond the plan of the ages? Sort of a cosmic blueprint of the ages. What lies beyond the stars? What are the secrets we don't know? In the past, we see 7,000 stars with the naked eye. That's all you could see with the naked eye. But we are staggered with the numbers seen with the new satellites, with the new radio telescopes. I make no apologies for my obsession with the universe. I'm fascinated with it. I study it. I can't stop thinking about it. It dominates my meditation. I pursue any leads for understanding it better. After all, it's my future home. Is it your future home? Or do you want to live on earth throughout eternity? Heaven is out there, our future home. I expect to spend more time out there than I do in New London, Connecticut. But the real reason for my obsession with heaven is that God lives there. I want to see God. To behold the ultimate being is to have the ultimate experience. How about you? Now, the question of our future home is the question of our future existence. There are unfolding secrets to which has been happening and what will happen, and these secrets are awesome. 1 Corinthians 2:9 has told us for years, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, what God has in reservation for those who are His. And we will trust in the Creator for what we have not seen. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6, God has begotten us together with Christ so that we may sit with Him in heavenly places. It is this plan that has opened up the secrets of the future. We see God creating an awesome future. There are more secrets yet to be fulfilled. Don't rest on things that were disclosed in the past. Look forward to what the Lord is revealing to us now and in the future. And our lesson this morning is to suggest some insights into the universe so that we can get a better perspective of our future home. A greater perspective of the universe gives us a better perspective of God. A greater perspective of God gives us a better perspective of our future home. Psalms 25:14, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear Him. And we will share with you within our time limit six secrets of the universe. There have been three views of the universe. Several scientific giants have theorized over the nature of the universe. Isaac Newton, in 1691, said that the universe is static. It just existed forever. And he said the universe will forever remain in an unchanging state. Albert Einstein in 1915 said that the stars are moving. The universe is moving. The galaxies are moving. But they are fixed with each other with no common origin. He said the universe will forever keep moving, but in an unchanging state. Edwin Hubble, 1929. He said that the stars are moving away from a common source as if from a gigantic singularity explosion. That explosion has now have come to mean the Big Bang. Most scientists today agree with Hubble that the universe burst forth from an incredibly small, dense volume, but an unbelievably hot source of hydrogen and helium. This burst is termed the Big Bang singularity. And this Big Bang that was created gave the universe its form in stages. The first stage, an awesome explosion with expanding hot matter in all directions. The second stage, cooling fast as it expands. And here clusters are formed, and gravity appears. The third stage, cooling continues, and gravity produces clusters of stars and nebulae. The fourth stage, the universe as it expands is slowing down. It is cooling off, and galaxies emerge. And the Big Bang expression, an explosion is an explosion of space, not an explosion in space. Space was created by the Big Bang explosion. It was the Globe satellite on April 24, 1992, which measured and gave evidence of the temperature difference between the cluster. Those in these areas right here were cooler than those within. These outwards and these inwards, the differential between the two, would tend to suggest that as we go further and further inward, it got hotter and hotter. And thus giving credence and seemingly proof that the universe came from a single source. Stephen Hawking said this discovery is the discovery of all time, for it was the birth of the universe. Scientists are now agreeing more than ever before the universe had a start. It had a beginning. Friends, this is momentous. For in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." If then a great cause produced multiple effects, this is in opposition to the evolutionist claim of everything just existing. What we're saying is that scientists are now admitting that if the universe had a beginning, something started it. Scientists are admitting that if the universe had a beginning, there must be a design in progress. Scientists are admitting that if the cause created the effects, the cause must be greater than the effects. Scientists are admitting things today they have never before. This is like saying order was created out of chaos by a divine intervention, and that a cosmic blueprint is behind it all. Let me give you some of the quotations from some of these scientists. Albert Einstein said, "I want to know how God created the world." Stephen Hawking said, "God fills the pages of my book." Stephen Weisberg says, "But no one was there to see God do it." Wilson Turner said, "Evidence of the beginning of the universe is like looking at what God did." There is such an enormous diversity in the universe. When you look at a scene like this, there is a black hole in any galaxy. There is solar systems. There are stars. There are comets. There are asteroids. There are moons. There are star clusters, supernovas, nebulae. The universe is made up of 100 billion galaxies. Each galaxy has 100 billion stars, which gives it a total of 6 trillion stars in the universe, at least in our universe. Some of you younger people will know that it is like 10 to the 22nd power. That's 1 with 22 zeros. That's a lot of stars. And we have only one that is ours, that is around us and before us and even within us. The Milky Way galaxy travels 500,000 miles per hour. It takes 250 million light years to make one circuit. Now, in contrast, our Earth travels 67,000 miles per hour, and it takes 365 days to make one circuit. Scientists say we can only see 7,000 stars with the naked eye. Then where did all the other stars come from? They come from the dark areas. If all we could see and count is 7,000, and there are 6 trillion stars, we've got to get an explanation of where are they from. Look at the dark areas. There are more dark areas than there are light areas. Those stars are in the dark areas. They're so far away that the light is unable to reach us. Interesting to note that Abraham, when given the promise in Genesis 15:15, could only see the visible universe when he was told the promise that thy seed shall be like the stars of heaven. Well, if he only saw 7,000, he may have said, that's a lot of stars. But if he were to be told 6 trillion stars, can you imagine how overwhelmed he might have been? At the heart of our galaxy and at the heart of most galaxies are black holes. A black hole is a huge collapsing star which has enormous gravity. So strong is this gravity that instead of emitting light, it pulls it in. The energy is pulled into the star. It also pulls in a lot of nearby stars, and it gives out no light. How is a star created? A star is created with hot masses condensing and are clumped together. The clumping creates a source of gravity, and it continues to cool and further condense into fragments, and the fragments continue to condense still further into hydrogen and helium. This results in a star with enormous gravity. And you can see the stages from a nebulous gaseous cloud. This condenses and divides. From their fragments, it continues to condense and divide. Cooling continues on until it finally glows as a star. How is a black hole created? As the star cools, it begins to shrink because it becomes more dense. As it becomes more dense, it increases its gravity. It then pulls in other stars, accelerating more its own gravity, which even pulls in the light. When a certain level of potential gravity exists, it becomes a black hole, and black holes are then huge, collapsing stars. To begin to appreciate the power of God, all we need to do is look at the numerics. The first numeric I would suggest to you is a handful of sand. If you're ever walking on the beach, reach down and take a handful of sand, as much as you can hold. That's roughly 10,000 particles. Now, how many handfuls are there on the beach? And you'll get an idea of how many sand particles there are. Well, let's not stop with that. Let's take the temperature of the sun, which is approximately 10 million degrees Celsius. Well, let's not stop there. Take the number of people who has ever lived from time Adam to the present time. Roughly 20 to 30 billion. Let's not stop there. How many galaxies, which we have already quoted, the number of galaxies in the universe, 100 billion. Let's not stop there. The stars in the universe, we said 6 trillion, 10 followed by 22 zeros. Let's not stop there. The number of cells in the human body, within your body, think of it. There are 10 followed by 80 zeros cells in your body. Let's not stop there. The number of atoms in the universe, it's 10 followed by 620 zeros. That's a lot of atoms. Let's not stop there. The largest number ever created or ever calculated by man was calculated at Princeton University was the number of years it would take for the expansion of the Big Bang singularity to stop in their expansion. And Carl Sagan said it was so huge to calculate that the only comparison he can give is for you to take a piece of paper and start writing zeros on them. Keep writing, take paper, writing, and start filling the solar system. When you fill up the entire solar system with these papers that has zeros on it, you will come up with the figure of how long it would take for the expansion to come to a halt. It's so huge a number that it's almost impossible to calculate. If God's creation is awesome, how much more is our Creator? The awesome numbers in the universe is so impressive and so inspirational that many have worshipped celestial bodies. But God prohibits this. Remember in Deuteronomy 4:19. When you look up to the sky and see the sun and the moon and the heavenly army, do not be enticed into bowing down and worshiping them. We also live in a universe that is an organized, complex variety. We live in a just right universe. The variety is well organized. Everything in the universe obeys laws. Everything just fits exactly. A 2% change in the Earth's distance to the sun would be the end of human life here on Earth. If gravity was pushed upward a few units, stars would burn out faster. If gravity was pushed down a few units, stars may never be born. This is the equilibrium that holds everything in harmony. We live in a designed universe. By design, we mean a planned purpose. At least on Earth, we see it. We suggest 5 levels on Earth, outward to God. The first level is the mineral world. There are 5 elements to that mineral world: gold, silver, copper, and iron. The second level is the vegetable world: trees, shrubs, plants, and mosses. The third level is the fleshly world: humans, animals, fowls, and fish. The fourth level is the spiritual world: principalities and powers and mights and dominions. The fifth level is the divine world. The study of the pyramid suggests there are 4 levels in the divine world. 4 levels. This is found in the king's chamber with its 5 compartments, the top compartment being God and the other 4 compartments representing 4 levels. But the divine nature is still mysterious to us. We don't know too much about it other than the fact that a new nature, a new set of beings is being created. What an awesome idea to think of this. You are not only being called into a divine family, but you are being a part of a whole new set of beings that has never been in existence before. Another suggestion of the design universe is the regularity of the planets. Earth orbits around the sun 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 45.51 seconds. This huge Earth at 6 sextillion tons travels this time, year in and year out, without fail. God runs the prodigious universe like the precision of a clock. Order is the first law of the universe, and now we can understand why. Historically, the creation of the universe is seen as an event happening in the past. Historically, the creation of the universe is seen with no future. This is wrong. This only shows the limited knowledge we have. All levels of knowledge changes to where God is. We see the creation of the universe as a continuing process. As we get closer to God, more secrets are unfolded. The universe is not complete. The universe is not made. It is now being made. It is unfinished. There is indeed a cosmic blueprint for God's design for the universe. This cosmic blueprint goes beyond the plan of the ages. We live in an unfinished universe. There are vast constructions going on in the universe, and it seems relatively we're at the beginning of our eternity. Let me repeat that, friends. We are at the beginning of our eternity. We are not at the end. We are not at the middle. We are at the beginning. The unfinished universe suggests the challenge for the divine family to finish the universe. What a disappointment it will be for each of us if we don't qualify for the divine family. We must redouble our efforts. We must redouble our preparation for the future. We must infuse those divine principles into our lives, those divine laws into our nature. Now we remember in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Eden was finished, but the rest of the world was not. And Adam and Eve was expelled from the garden and was commissioned to finish the unfinished earth. As it were, Adam and Eve were seeds. And now, after 7,000 years, we see 20 billion people in the harvest. As it were, the Garden of Eden was a seed, and the earth now is being finished. As it were, planet Earth is a seed. There are thousands of planets awaiting creativity. Jesus was only a seed. A divine family is being created. Our limited 7,000 years of experience are only seeds for the future. And let me repeat, we are at the beginning of our eternity. The human family has not done too badly to perpetuate the commission. The plants and the trees and the shrubs and the colors and the forms as seeds. Here is an example of a globalized finished product of the human family. Grapes is the most popular world fruit. As I understand it in my research, 25 million acres throughout the world are grown as grapes. Another example of man's finishing an unfinished earth. If you look carefully at the highways and the clover leaves, you will see God's arteries in his veins and the capillaries. This is only a duplication and a copy of what's inside the human body. And there's a universe in Europe right now that will entertain any research project that applies biological systems to the human culture. Another example of mankind's development of the earth. You could see order and harmony and alignment. Mankind is like God, made in his image. The only problem, it's been spoiled. Mankind has been spoiled in two ways. First, from the legacy from Adam, for mankind has fallen. But also, Satan keeps him down. Mankind has been condemned, but Satan keeps him condemned. That's what the problem is. But every time mankind rises, brilliance comes out. Great things that mankind can do. All the planets are unfinished, waiting for the three elements, atmosphere, water, and carbon-rich dusting. When that happens, all the planets will be habitable, like Earth. Astronomers have found water on a newly discovered planet 200 million light years away. Some planets have rings of asteroids around them. But once they're cleared, more planet capacity for human habitation. The landing on the moon was open evidence that humans can travel to nearby planets. This was a crude process. To us, it was high technology. But this will be known in years ahead as like the early carriages compared to the high-speed jets. Incidentally, travel to the moon They're making up a list to those who want to travel to the moon. I believe it will start in 2010 AD. You can get advanced tickets now. If you ask the question, how much will it cost, they can't answer it because they don't know what the cost will be. But you'll be on the list of priorities. Now this, what you see before you here, is what's happening this afternoon. The Shoemaker-Levy comet, one-tenth the size of the Earth. The first fragment will hit Jupiter on July 16 at 3:54 p.m. That's this afternoon. The other fragments will hit between July 19th and 24. Spectacular results are expected. Interesting to note that this Shoemaker-Levy, when it could have hit the Earth, if it did, it would have been the end of humanity. The fragments are expected to hit with 7,000 million megatons of TNT, or putting it differently, 10,000 times more energy than all of the nuclear weapons on Earth. This is a crater. We expect to have Shoemaker-Levy create a crater, but we won't be able to see it. But right now, it's one of the most spectacular, and tonight, perhaps, you'll get a report as to what actually did happen. Another secret of our universe is one of many universes. Creation was not one single act, but a series of acts in a continuing process. There are many universes in the making, and I'm convinced we are at the beginning of eternity. Scientists are saying that there are extraterrestrial beings out there, interplanetary creatures or supernatural visitations. We call them simply spiritual creatures. The UFO phenomena are in the thousands. They're still continue being reported and baffling everyone. I will only suggest that they could be the interaction between the spiritual and the physical world. Now, many in the nominal systems have mistakenly characterized Satan as you see him. They mistakenly put him in the center of the earth in a fiery hell, when all the while, Satan's spiritual heaven is occupying exactly the same space in our own world, except it is at obtuse angles to the physical world. Did not Jesus say to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? He was right here on earth. We now know God's heaven is beyond the stars. We know there is a heaven among heavens. This sounds like a universe within a universe. That's the exact expression in Job 9:7. Heavens among the heavens. Scientists are calling these parallel universes, and they suggest that they are created. How? Black holes, as they pull in all that energy, since they are tubular in shape, they pull them in, and with great motion, they emit them out with renewed energy into a parallel universe. Time as a dimension was created during the Big Bang singularity. There are two ways to create time. First, it is created when a distance separates two bodies. And second, it is created when one body is undergoing change. We get that view with Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the first chapter, confirms God creating time with the vision of the four creatures. There were wheels, the inner and outer discs. Wheels are huge, massive, spinning. When God moves, symbolic of the chariot throne for creative works, time starts. When he is not creating the wheels, time stops. The wheels are God's time clock. If you follow a point on a wheel and describe the path of the point, in the inner wheel and the path of the point in the outer wheel, you will get the arches, the dispensations, and the ages. Let me summarize what we've been saying. We said that we're going to share with you six secrets of the universe. The first one was, how was the universe created? A great cause started a hot Big Bang singularity explosion. The second, how did the widely diverse elements appear with huge numerics? Cooling galaxies, collapsing black holes, condensing solar systems, energy-emitting stars, and orbiting planets, and the numerics are in the trillions. The third, how are complex moving elements kept orderly and organized? The design universe, laws built into the Big Bang explosion with gravity. The fourth is, why is the universe unfinished? Seeds for the future use, and we already mentioned this, but we believe it to be the great challenge that the church, with Jesus as head, will create in the future. The fifth is, there only one universe. Our universe and other parallel universes are subsets of a total universe. And finally, the sixth, how was time created? The beginnings of creative works. Let me now just give you the lessons we should have from this. Lesson one, we have learned that the universe is even much more bigger than we perceived. This means the power of God is far more than what we've perceived. Lesson number two, we have learned that we are far more insignificant than our self-perception. We become smaller as we learn more about our universe. Lesson number three, we have learned that we are not aliens in this universe. We are part of it. This universe will be part of our future home. We have learned more about the universe because we are thirsting after God. A bit of information about God both satisfies our thirst and then generates more thirst after God. Lesson number five, we have learned that the secrets of the universe are evidences which reveal a designed universe. Lesson number six, we have learned that the responsibility to finish the universe may very well be the work of Jesus and the church. The Hallelujah Chorus, we are again reminded, rejection from this wonderful opportunity we have to be a part of the great divine family is a great rejection. It will be a bitter loss. We should double our efforts to be sure we make our calling and election sure. And finally, in John 14, 2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that is where you may be also. Let us not lose hope. Let us not be distracted. God helps us to be overcomers and part of the divine family. And may God add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Paul, for your service to us on the secrets of the universe. Thank you very much.